Welcome. You are listening to The Creative Spark. My name is G. Brian Benson, and I'm an award-winning author, project coach, actor, TEDx speaker, creative, and four-time Ironman triathlete. I love to creatively inspire and be inspired. And with each episode, I will be talking of authors, athletes, entrepreneurs, artists, and actors sharing their journey of success and learning how to find the joy and peace of mind that comes with stepping into one's own skin and going beyond anything they might previously have thought possible. I hope that their stories and strategies provide insight, tools, and empowerment to step up your creative game and help you live your best life. So without further ado, let's get going. Hey, welcome. You are going to love this week's guest. She is a giggle box and general troublemaker, geeking out on the world and singing till kingdom come. Emily Otteson was born at a very young age in the Pacific Northwest. Having been swaddled by the smell of pine trees and raised by the sound of fresh air, she eventually developed a love for sound that would guide her from one musical adventure to another. Emily started singing in church at the age of 12, started singing in coffee shops at 18, started singing in bars at 21, and eventually moved to Nashville, Tennessee in 2016 to continue her musical pursuits. In 2017, Emily sang her original song, Wild Boy, on the Grand Old Opry stage for Reba McEntire. She released her first single, I Baked You a Pie, in 2018, has released two other EPs, toured the country, and plans to release her next single, Rio Grande, this year, followed by an album. Most importantly, she likes to write and create music that has a lasting impact on the hearts of people. Welcome, Emily.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, it's a pleasure to have you here. We share a Northwest upbringing, both Oregonians.
We do.
Yeah. So, you know, it's so green and, yeah. Do you, you know, I always like to joke around. Do you have moss growing in between your fingers also because of all the rain?
You know, I don't have moss between my fingers, but I do, dream of like sleeping on a bed of ferns, you know, and like the deepness of my subconscious. That's where I always want to be. So
kind of your meditative place.
Yeah.
Nice. What, real quick, we're going to do something a little different today, but how would you describe your music? Cause I mean, I'm going to say like two or three different genres kind of blended, but what would you say?
I call it dream folk.
Wow.
So like folk music, but dreamy. And then sometimes a side of bluegrass.
Interesting. So, okay.
Served with a side of bluegrass, depending on the context.
Okay. Yeah. Or if it's on the menu that day.
Yep.
I would, you know, I've never heard of dream folk. I would have kind of said maybe there's a little bit of old timey in there. Okay. Right. You know, and a little bit of country, a little bit of, I mean, just a little bit of everything. Yeah.
Just cool. That.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yep. Well, okay. So we're going to start with a song so people can get an idea of kind of what you're, yeah, that was nice. It's okay. That was the first chord of what you're about. And if you could please, I'm requesting your upcoming single, Rio Grande.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I would love to play it.
Thank you.
Take me down to the Rio Grande, and we can talk about what makes a man. Take me down to the place you call home, and we will never be alone. Stars, how vast the sky.
what dreams have come true and which are gone. I wanna know what you're thinking. I wanna know what really gets you. I wanna know what you're drinking. Something wild or something smooth. I wanna know what you're dreaming. And if my absence makes you blue, just wanna go to Rio Grande with you.
Wow, that was beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, I always love singing that song.
Oh, no, that's fantastic. Yeah. When did you write it?
So I actually started writing it. there's a dog in this space. So if you happen to hear some dog sounds, by the way, that was that. But I started writing that song like my first week in Nashville. Oh. There was kind of this weird crossover of like, I had a place lined up to live, but logistically I had to be out here a couple weeks early. And like, anyways, I just ended up staying at a friend's house when she was on tour and was like, what am I doing here? Did I make the right choice? Mm-hmm. And so the melody, I was just on my bed hanging out, and the melody just came out. But then I ended up finishing the words maybe a year and a half ago, just based off of some conversations I was having. And the whole song itself really is about having someone in front of you that is so completely different culturally, religiously, all the things, and how, you know, when you have face-to-face conversations with people, it is such a different experience than developing opinions based on this distant view of how someone could be. So
anyways. Yeah, I love that. You're absolutely right. Yeah. I drove around the US for 6 months last year in an RV, and just meeting people face-to-face is just so different. And even though, you know, you might not agree on everything, it's just, you know, you just treat each other as equals, you know?
Oh my goodness.
It's just different.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Especially, I mean, growing up in Portland and then moving to the South, you know, it's like, oh, actually, I thought I knew what I knew until I'm sitting here with someone who's so completely different and their experience is valid, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyhow, that's that song.
Thank you.
Yeah.
When did you know you wanted to, you know, start making music and sing? As your career?
I growing up, I always felt, I never have not been captivated by music. Mm-hmm. So, I have memories as a kid, you know, where I just was like, oh my gosh, the sounds, what's happening with them? But, when I was about 12, I went to a Nickel Creek concert, which is like this progressive bluegrass band.
Yeah, I remember them. They had some great songs.
Yeah. I went to their show and I went with my dad and we were in the middle of the crowd. And just sonically, I remember so specifically, like, they had this upright bass that was bowing this long, deep chord. And then the mandolin came in and the fiddle played. And it was like something in the depths of my soul and body was like, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. Just like the impact of the actual sound waves hitting me, I was like, that's the thing. So,
wow. Yeah. When did you know, realize you started to have, either you had some talent?
You know, I knew that I loved music and that I had a natural ear for it. However, however, you know, when that happened, I was like barely 12. And then, I didn't even know how I would get into music, really. I had taken like piano lessons growing up, but around that time, the music director at my church, she reached out to me and she was like, hey, sweetie. She's like, I had a dream that you were all grown up and you were singing songs. And so I'm going to put you on stage next week and I'll teach you voice lessons. And I was like, what? But it was just like, she just was so nurturing as a adult, you know, and I was not great, you know, but she just always had this steady belief in me that was like, this is where you figure out what your voice does. And if you totally bomb it, it's okay, we'll still be here next week, you know. And so that's kind of when I started learning how to use my vocal cords.
Wow.
Just
went from there.
Yeah.
Where do you get your ideas and inspiration for songs?
Let's see, everybody I've ever dated, for sure.
You pull a Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the next song that I'm going to sing is it's the first full song I wrote in Nashville, like from beginning to end. And I always talk about the songwriting. There's like, you know, when you see someone maybe from your childhood that you had a crush on, or like you see an ex lover or something, and for like 3 seconds in your head you're like, could it have worked out with them? You know, like you see him at the grocery store and it's like you run your whole life scenario through your head but it's not even lasting. It's just this quick, like, zoom of a feeling. A lot of my songs are based on those 3 second. Like, it's outside of logic. It's outside of, but it's like, oh, I went on a date with a guy and he said this one thing that made me feel a kind of way. Maybe we could build a life together. And then like 3 seconds later, logic kicks in. But a lot of my songs come from those little moments.
Wow.
You know, building a story around a split second feeling, and then just life. And I love people watching, and there's a lot of entertaining people to watch in that show. So
are you melody first, words first, or a kind of combo, or how does that work?
Usually it's a combination of things. I could, if I sit down specifically to write a song, I could have melodies coming out of my ears. And I mean, I'm always having melodies in my head for any moment of every day, but when I do write words, it usually comes with melody. So
you kind of let the words fit in with the melody then?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. It's nice. Very rare that I would come up with just words for something, but often it's like a little, you know, earworm hook, something.
Yeah.
Something like hooky and cool. And then I sit on it and then more comes out. And I really don't have a rhythm for writing. It's just when the inspiration hits, I try to honor that space and finish it.
So, sure. Yeah. Do you like to write with other people, or do you kind of just like to go it alone?
I do like to write with other people that I like.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course.
You know, like there's like in Nashville, there's like career writers where, you know, you get put into rooms with different writers and you're like, you're writing a song and you're not leaving until you come out with one. That's not my favorite thing.
Yeah.
And that's not even what I like. I want to write songs and then I want to sing them. I don't necessarily want to write for other people. So
yeah,
I have a handful of people that I'll write with, but only because they're awesome people.
Nice. Yeah. There's a, you know. Did you see that documentary on Amazon?
No.
Oh my gosh. I apologize. I cannot think of the name now, but
uh-huh.
I'll let you and our folks know in the notes, but it's fantastic. It's just focuses on a whole bunch of different songwriters in Nashville and kind of their process and some of the songs they've written. I mean, you'll totally dig it.
That's
and
amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really inspirational.
Yeah.
Very inspirational.
Nashville is, I just think of it as this like musical playground.
Mm.
So it's like, you know, you want to have a bluegrass band where everybody wears tutus and you cover metalcore songs. Like there's going to be a little community of people here for you, you know, like, or you want to just write music and not perform, or you want to just perform and not write music. Like
mm-hmm.
just any which way there's something for everybody.
Wow.
Yeah.
Does it feel competitive to you, or you just not worry about that and just do your thing and just let the cards fall where they fall?
I've observed that competitive thing mm-hmm. with people, but in general, like outside of music, just in life in general, I'm pretty solid on my belief that like everybody's here to do what they're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Specifically, so it's like there's only one Dolly Parton. I don't even want to, like, I admire her and things she does, but like I can't insert my personal life path
mm-hmm.
and compare it to hers. So I personally, it's like I observe that happening sometimes, but I don't even, it's not something I even like nod my head towards, because I'm like, boring. Like, life is too good for myself, and you know, someone else's, you know, yeah. gets a spot on a show that I wanted, like it probably wasn't for me in yeah. that yeah. time. So
yeah,
there's a lot of community support. So
well, that's nice. You know, I've kind of sensed that just with that documentary and just some other people that I follow. You know, you would think that it could potentially be competitive, you know, like mm-hmm. maybe it is out here in LA a little bit, but mm-hmm. but that's nice. That's really nice that it yeah. does feel more supportive.
Well, yeah. And I've heard from folks that have moved out here from LA. The analogy I've heard a couple times is like LA entertainment industry feels like a mountain. Mm. So there's like a small amount of space at the top and a lot of people climbing, and Nashville is like a plateau where it's like, hey man, I see that you're down there. Come on up. There's lots of space up here. So that's
awesome.
But I don't know if it's, yeah, I don't know if it's because it's rooted in a Southern culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I have friends that, you know, one year they're like barely making rent and the next year they have a Grammy.
Right.
One year they're barely making rent, and the next year they're, you know, I have a friend that she played the Grand Ole Opry and was like getting evicted from her apartment the same day. Like, you know, it's just people, I think there's this humility that's like, hey, we're all working really hard. And, you know, I have a friend who just got a record deal and is like taking off.
Mm.
But 2 years ago, she was literally living on the street. So,
oh my gosh.
So it's just, I think people have that awareness that like, hey, this is all a blessing. It can be taken away at any moment, or life can happen. And so we just have to support each other. So.
No, that's great. I agree. You know, yeah. there's in the entertainment business, I mean, whether it's in LA or Nashville, I would imagine there's not really a blueprint. So with that being said, how do you try to kind of continue to move forward, you know, mm-hmm. towards maybe some of your goals and dreams?
Yeah. Well, I guess for me, see, I moved out here 2015, 16-ish. Mm-hmm. And for a while, my marker of success was that I would only be making money with music. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really know, you know, stylistically what direction I wanted to go. I didn't really know if I could even, can, you know, do A, B, or C, but I was like, okay, success for me is full-time musician. That's success. So I did that for a while. And I mean, about 6 months before 2020, I was like, I feel like I'm 45 and I'm only 29 and I'm tired. So, mm-hmm. For me, you know, having a lifestyle where I'm healthy and really rooted in my community and, yeah, just mentally in a good space, is what keeps me excited to do music. And I mean, like last year, I took 7 months off to go work on my aunt and uncle's whale watching boat.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Good for you. Because I was like, yeah, I was just like, you know what? There's this, I think in entertainment, there's this pressure to like do everything now or it's going to slip away from you and mm-hmm. you're going to be a failure. And I'm like, I don't actually agree with that. So if my body's telling me it needs to rest, I'm going to rest.
Good for you.
Yeah. So, and then for me, it's like, I do other things other than music. And so I just feel a good balance in that. And, you know, when I want to pick up touring, I do. And when I need to take a little break, I do. So wow. I don't know if I answered your question.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's really good. Yep. No, it's you're listening to your, you know, your heart and your gut. And that's really important because it's I would imagine it's pretty easy to get lost trying to climb a ladder, like as the music business.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Well, and I think the idea that space is limited. Time is limited. If I don't make it now, I'm never going to make it. I mean, I was told like when I was, I don't know, 19 or 20, I was told like, if you don't make it in Nashville by the time you're 22, like there's no space for you because, you know, you're old. And I was like, yeah, I let that sink into my psyche for a couple years. And then I was like, that's a load of cuss word.
Horse poop. Yeah. We can say poop.
But. Yeah. Well, I'm like, I'm an artist. I will always be an artist. And, you know, of course we only have today, but, I think there's more resources and more opportunity than American Idol would like people to believe.
Are you kind of following your own instincts in regards to like your career? Do you have like kind of somebody helping you a little bit, guide you, or how does that work?
Yeah. So I have a
manager.
Wonderful. I do.
Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And she essentially is kind of my like, I would say like business mentor. Mm-hmm. And based on what my life looks like, there are some times when I actually have something to manage. And sometimes there's less that I can kind of handle. But really in the last 2 years with COVID and everything, my journey has taken me to really assess like, okay, I've been busting my behind trying to do music full time and I don't actually like that anymore, but I love making music and I love entertaining people. So I've kind of just been, you know, took a step back and presently I'm kind of coming back into like, okay, I've taken time off. I'm writing more. I'm excited to sing again. Let's go. So currently I'm formulating the next steps.
Good.
Kind of just go by the gut.
No, that's good.
Yep.
Do you prefer performing alone or with a band? You know, and I would imagine there's a different type of vulnerability performing alone.
Mm-hmm. I love performing alone mainly because In the live setting, I think perhaps in another life I could have done like stand-up comedy. Mm-hmm. So in that live setting, timing, like the split second timing of reading a crowd and adjusting and guiding, and I call it crowd wrangling.
I love it.
You know, so you're like that kind of thing. For me, I find that I'm really good at that. So if it's just me and my guitar, I'm able to just like split second make changes that, having a full band, sometimes it's like I'm aware of the crowd, but I'm also aware of the band, of course, behind me. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I do love playing alone. However, when I do have a band and I'm not playing guitar and I'm just singing, I feel like I can rock out, and that's fun. So it's two very different things, but yeah. I do like performing alone just because it feels like I can mold the crowd in front of me in a way that's
can
just
convert really... them.
Yes. Yeah.
Emily worshipers.
Or just life. Like it's, I think as a, I'm like, either I could have done stand-up comedy or I could have been a preacher maybe. Cause that it's just that relationship of like, I'm on a stage, everybody's watching me, but what most people don't realize is I'm watching everybody from an elevated level. So when they
that's
take
so
that little,
interesting, yeah, you are,
huh. And like when they take their little sip of tea or make that weird gesture with the dude that they're with, I see exactly what's going on, and I'm like, they think, you know, and so I think for me, I'm like, maybe a sociologist, maybe that's what I could have been, because I just love, and then seeing what's going on, and then saying like, okay, how can I break the wall between the stage and the people so that we're all just in this room together having a moment.
Wow.
That's my greatest joy.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. Anyway. I think it's time for another song.
Yeehaw. Yeehaw, Lord. Here, let me get my guitar. All right. Here we go. Yeah, this next tune is called Wild Boy. And it's about the first guy I dated in Nashville.
Okay.
And sang this on the Grand Ole Opry stage, and it was for a filmed event with Reba McEntire, and she liked this song a lot. So if you don't like it, take it up with Reba.
Okay. Throw me your digits. Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
Oh, wild boy, can I take you home? We'll settle down and talk about what makes a place a home. Where do you run when freedom calls? Oh, wild boy, how do you live without a roof and four square walls? Oh, vagabond, will you marry me? Why do you hold the secrets of your heart under lock and key? Oh, I could make you dinner every night and give you what you don't know you need, just so and just right. Oh, wild boy, oh, heart of gold, eyes of blue. Oh, wild boy. Take you home. Oh, living in one place doesn't mean that you're not free to roam. The wind will always be your call. So go on, boy, east or west, though I don't mind at all. A wild boy, oh, heart of gold, eyes of blue. Wild boy, oh, how I adore.
No, that was awesome. Thank you.
Yes. You are welcome.
that was great. That was great. Do you ever run into him?
One time I did park right next to his truck. And that was like, I mean, it was a classic, like, move to Nashville. He was at my very first gig. He worked at the venue and was like so cool and had a motorcycle and just not a lifelong person. But it was so exciting. So yeah, I haven't, he lives south of town, so I don't really run into him.
Okay. All right. Well, perfect. Well, hey, you got a song out of it.
Oh my goodness. And I have another song. That was the song I wrote like as I was falling into like with him. And then I have another song that I wrote after we broke up. So,
wow.
You know, God bless him.
Yeah. What does creativity mean to you?
The act of world creating. Like I'm of the opinion that every person has this unique ability to formulate their own little world and space in this universe. Yeah. So yeah, when I think of creativity, I just think of like, it's that expression, that unique expression that any person has,
yeah,
in a form that can be received and observed and consumed by someone else.
No, that's awesome. You know, and unfortunately, yeah, I don't think many people are tapping into what, you know, their capabilities and finding that creativity. So you're very lucky that you have.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. It can get pretty deep.
Yeah.
It can go pretty deep. You
well,
know?
I understand.
Yes.
Do you like touring?
Do I like touring? I do. And what I would say is it depends on what you mean by that.
Well, I mean, I'm sure if it was an extended tour, it'd probably get, it probably would be a little ungrounding.
Yes. There's many iterations of that particular word, but I've been on tours that, like, I went on this one tour that I refer to as the tour from hell. Cause it was like 20 dates. It was kind of my first like foray into independent artist touring, and it was so ill planned. And looking back, I'm like, I learned so much though. So I actually really love touring now because I plan it well, and I make sure that I'm getting a lot of sleep and eating good food. And so, yeah. I do.
Not sleeping in the back of a car.
Not sleeping in the back of a car. Like, you know, before when I was doing music full time, I'm like, any gig, anywhere, for any pay or no pay. And now I'm like, I would prefer one gig that
pays a lot.
You know, pays a lot and has a place where I can sleep over seven gigs that pay nothing. And, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love traveling, and I love just being in a new space where I don't know anybody. Building a connection with people. So. Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything coming up?
I not really right now. I have a couple like local things around Nashville. This Monday I'm playing at a place called Live Oak. But right now I'm just focusing on getting Rio Grande finished as a recording. And then I'm going to do a little album.
Nice.
So I have all the puzzle pieces kind of just ready, and it's just a matter of timing and getting some marketing plans together and then once that's all out, then I can start touring again.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You planning on going by yourself or maybe with somebody else or.
Yeah. The plan is to have, I might do a couple of the dates myself, depending on the context of the show, mm-hmm. but, mm-hmm. would like to take an upright bass and maybe some dobro or fiddle.
I love me some dobro. Yeah.
Dobro.
Now, are we talking like slap dobro? Or are we talking about like resonator kind of like Delta blues or dobro?
Like
lap steel,
like steel guitar. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like nice. Bluegrass.
Yeah.
Bluegrassy. But mainly I do love, I mean, it's like, I do like playing shows alone, but also it's fun. It's fun to do it with friends.
Yeah.
And it's fun when your friends are like the best bluegrass musicians in the world. They just so happen to be. I'm like, uh-huh. Yep. Yep. That's the answer. Uh-huh. Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I want to hear about your experience at the Grand Ole Opry. Were you just kind of like in shell shock? I mean, was that just a dream come true? I mean, what was that experience like?
Oh my gosh. So that experience to me was like your quintessential Nashville thing, because how I even got there was I accepted a gig at this dive bar.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like two people there that I'm pretty sure were not even listening to me in the back. And I was just like singing my little songs in a sound system that was just like the worst. And I, but it was
paying
like,
your dues, paying your dues.
Right. Yeah. I'm like, no, it was a gig in Nashville. It was exciting.
Yeah.
So just played it. And then before these two gentlemen in the back left, one of them came up to me and asked for my email. And then he gave me his card. But it wasn't even like he wasn't like, oh my gosh, that was so amazing. He was just like, hey, can I get your email? I was like, sure. And then, I don't know, months later, I got this email from him and it was like, hey, I was at that dive bar. I might have an opportunity for you. And he like was like, send your headshot and bio to this other email. And I was like, what? Who is this person? But I did it. And then I got an email back that was like, hey, can you text all this information to this phone number? And I'm like, what? But I just felt like I needed to go down the rabbit trail. And so eventually got an email that seemed official and professional. It was like, you have been selected to audition at Skyway Studios. But I didn't know what the audition was for.
Mm-hmm.
Skyway Studios is this like feature film. Soundstage studio in Nashville. So I was like, okay, that's official. I auditioned, still didn't know what I was auditioning for. I got called back, still didn't know what I was auditioning for.
What songs did you sing during your auditions?
So I sang a song that I wrote called Sugar on the Shelf, which mm-hmm. is this like sassy country song about that I wrote. Anyways, mm-hmm. I sang that song. And then the second audition, they were like, do you have anything more like true country, old timey sounding? And I was like, well, I have a song where I kind of do a little yodel, sort of. So I played the Wild Boy. And then anyways, all this to say, I didn't know what I was doing. But after that second audition, they came out and they're like, hey, okay, so you've been selected by Reba McEntire to spend a day with her. Being mentored by her musically, and it's being filmed at the Grand Ole Opry, and you're going to sing on the stage. And I was like,
ah! Wow.
So, yeah. So it was just, you know, one of those, like, I could have not emailed that guy back.
Yeah.
There was no reason that I should have, but it was just one of those awesome experiences. So yeah, it was pretty special and
mm-hmm.
a memory I shall cherish forever.
Nice. What was Reba like working with her?
Oh, she was just, I mean, she's like a loving, cozy mother presence.
Mm.
Like she truly was like, I mean, she's just so hot and genuinely, there was three other artists that spent the day with her and we each got group time and then one-on-one time. And she just, it was like genuinely cared about each of us and wanted to give us something that, you know,
yeah,
was a value. And I thought, I played her my song and wanted like feedback on it. And she was like, well, girl, where were you when I was releasing my first album? You know, and I was like, what? So, but actually what we ended up working on was learning how to sing emotively into a camera. Because I had never really done that. And she's like, Emily, when you're, you know, on a big stage and there's a camera right there, yes, you have the audience watching you, but you also have potentially a whole lot of people on the other side of that camera, and they need to feel you just as much. Mm. And like, it was that, I mean, that, oh my goodness, that was such a fun lesson to have from Reba herself. Mm-hmm. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
So, were you nervous that night when you were playing your song?
You know, I wasn't, because everybody there with the film crew and all the makeup and hair and all these people, it's like, I felt like I was at a job, you know, mm-hmm. and because it was being filmed, it's like, okay, we're here to, I'm here to be myself, but also it's being filmed. And so there's a director, and it just felt very professional. And so I think I just kind of adapted to that and was like, okay, I'm here for Reba. Obviously this is a big deal, but like, we have limited time. I don't actually have time to be nervous.
Yeah.
However, the following week, I think it was like 3 days later, I think the whole experience hit me, and I was like, I just like full sobbed in my car. Because I was like, oh my God.
Did that really just happen?
That just happened. So, but, and also the people I ended up meeting, like, because Reba was there all the in-between times, so like during lunch and the breaks and whatever, like the people that, all the non-Reba people I ended up meeting were just like amazing. There's a country artist named Jimmy Allen who's doing really well.
Yeah,
he was one of the artists there, where he had just moved to Nashville, and you know, and one of the other artists is no longer doing music, and it's been cool just to see how everybody has their little different, you know,
yeah,
way of things,
paths.
Yeah. It's like, oh my God, Jimmy, he's like, he's like doing all the awesome things, and it's totally different music than I would ever make. How awesome, you know? Mm-hmm. So, anyways. Mm-hmm.
No, anywho. What an awesome experience. Tell us, we're starting to get toward the end here, but tell us a little bit about like what you like to do outside of music. I know you like horses.
Oh yes. Oh Lord, do I ever. Well, yeah. So aside from music, I sort of have two big things that I can kind of expand or contract based on how much music I'm doing. But I live and work on an equine therapy retreat farm.
Wow.
Excuse me. And basically, a lot of veterans will come out that, you know, dealing with PTSD. A lot of, will have, just anybody can come out, you know, to do sessions with the horses that have a focus on regulating your nervous system and learning how to connect with the horse in a way that translates directly to life, essentially. So anyways.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's a wonderful pairing with music, because I go back to the farm and I'm just like kind of in a different world, mm-hmm. and nothing is really required of me musically. And I'm just a person. You know, cleaning the horse's foot.
Yeah, go clean the horse. You know?
Yeah. Like, but also it's pretty physically engaging. So I think for me, it's good to have something physically where I'm like sweating and working out life outside of just like sitting and being melancholy and writing songs.
The tortured artist.
Yes. So, nice. and just to be, it's like music is healing and work done at the farm with the horses is healing. And it's like, man, when I sing a song and someone is, their heart is touched and they cry, whatever, it's like, dude, the horses are doing that same thing, just in a different. Mm-hmm. So,
you got your priorities set up, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hope so. Nice. I hope so. Lord, amen.
Hallelujah. So what, if you could snap your fingers, what would you be doing music wise? What are some of your goals? And, you know, what are some things that you'd like to see happen for your career?
Yeah. I read this article years ago that, this musician, his name is Gregory Alan Isakov, wrote, and it was about how basically he was doing so well in music and was touring year round and then realized like, oh, I want a family and I want to have kids. And so he started an organic seed farm, and 6 months out of the year, he would work the farm. And then the other 6 months he would tour. And, like ever since I've read that, I'm like, that is what I want to do. Not have the organic seed farm, but
yeah, like maybe horses or something else or whatever.
Yeah, like in my perfect world, it's like 6 months of full-time music, slaying hearts, entertaining the masses,
cashing
big checks, touring my music, traveling the world, rocking stages, all the things with the best sound systems and my best friends on stage with me. And then 6 months of my fingers in the dirt and quiet living.
refill on your cup.
Yep. That would be my,
I don't see why you can't make that happen.
I know, it's kind of, I feels like it's about 85% there.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah. Well. You know?
That's awesome.
Almost.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't thank you enough. This has been really, really nice. And thank you for sharing your story and your music and your inspirational stories and just, yeah, you're heading places. I mean, you're amazing at what you do and your head's on right. And you're from the Northwest. And
Yeah. Well, it's been a pleasure talking, and I'm just like, I love music and talking about it. And then sometimes I'm like, how did we get here? I live in Nashville. I play song. What? So I'm honored to just chit chat and share my story. So.
Oh, thank you. You know, and I'll have it in the notes, but there's lots of places you can follow Emily. Obviously websites, Emily Ottison, that's OTTESON.com. And yes. She's on Twitter and Facebook, and I think I found you on Instagram, and that's Emily the Ott is her handle on Instagram, and it's worth following. You know, thank you so much, and you know, just I'm going to be following you and rooting you on, and if there's anything I can do to help you, just please let me know. And
thank you, Brian.
You're welcome, Emily. All right, you have a wonderful day.
Thank you for listening to The Creative Spark. To learn more about host G. Brian Benson, his latest best-selling book, Habits for Success, and this week's amazing guest, please visit the show notes. And we love building community, making new friends, and spreading the goodness, so don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and share it with your friends and family. Until next time, as Brian always says, be well, be creative, and always be yourself.